Hey guys, Joe DeFranco here from the Industrial Strength Show. Today I wanted to talk to you about making gains in the gym while staying healthy after the age of 40. And I got to say, the things I'm going to talk about don't only apply to the 40 and older crowd. I must say that a lot of the things I'm going to talk about, the tips I'm going to give you, I started applying to my own training when I was about 25, and I'm sure a lot of former athletes can relate to that. I always joke and say, if you were an athlete, you realize that your body starts to age in dog years after a while, and those old bumps and bruises and things start to hurt that didn't hurt earlier on in life, and you know how that goes. So just wanted to kind of throw that out there. This isn't just for the 40 and older crowd, but if you are 40 or older, you definitely need to pay special attention to all these tips I'm about to give. So first and foremost, number one, you have to warm up. You need to warm up before you train. You cannot use your training as the warm up. And what I mean by that is, you know, let's say the barbell squat is going to be your first exercise one day. You can't just walk into the gym, put the barbell on your back, and start squatting. That is using your training to warm up, where we need to warm up in order to earn the right to train. So no more skipping the warm-ups. When you warm up, make sure you're paying special attention to your soft tissue. Soft tissue work is essential, especially as you get older. And when I say soft tissue work, I'm referring to things like foam rolling, using the lacrosse ball, using the stick, that little roller thing that you kind of give yourself a self-massage with. If you don't know how to use those implements, learn how to use them. They will be your best friend and add years to your training. Trust me on that. So just a quick little outline for you, a good warm-up for me is some soft tissue work or some self-care. You know, the beauty of this is that there's a lot of things now you could do on yourself. You don't have to see a massage therapist or an ART specialist every single day. You know, you could use the lacrosse ball, foam roller, or the stick on yourself. Get the real tight areas, the problem areas, work on that. Then I would do some general movements, some calisthenics to get a sweat cracked. Then after a couple minutes of that, I would do some mobility drills. And then I would throw in a CNS activation exercise. So I always like to say, I like to end my warm-ups with a jump, a short sprint, or a throw. So, you know, like a box jump, a little short 10-yard sprint, or a medicine ball throw. Those things are great because they just activate your nervous system, get you fired up, and get you ready to train. So that doesn't have to take long. You know, you could keep the warm-up anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes, but just try to get all those components into your warm-up. It'll make a big difference. All right, another tip. Let's see. I would say don't train to failure, or at least don't train to failure often. You know, we all love to work hard, but when you go to failure, you go to, you don't have another rep left in the tank on all your exercises day in and day out, it just creates central nervous system fatigue. You hear a lot of people with the adrenal fatigue and burnout, and it's just very difficult to recover when you do that all the time in your training, and you increase your chances of getting injured. And I'll tell you this, if you kind of take a step back and just use the rule where you 99% of the time leave one or two reps in the tank. So, you know, you could push yourself, but always stop when you know, all right, I could have gotten one more rep, but I stopped. And I'm telling you, it's not copping out. You're not slacking. I have seen absolutely no negative benefits from training that way. In fact, like I said, it's enough of a stimulus to help you, you know, get stronger, get more muscular, you know, change your physique, but you'll recover a lot faster. So you'll actually see better results that way by leaving one or two reps in the tank rather than always training to failure and exhaustion. Trust me on that one. All right, let's move on. Another tip I would give you, reduce the amount of direct spinal loading. And what I mean by that is basically barbell squatting. You know, and I'm not against barbell squatting. In fact, I love it. One of the best exercises you could do if you're doing it properly. But there are a lot of people who like to barbell squat two or three times a week in their program. What I would say is I would limit your barbell squatting to once a week. You don't want to have the barbell on your back two, three, four times a week, you know, once you start getting a little bit up there in years, you know, because we're really trying to reduce the amount of compression on our body. You know, we have enough compression with just from living, you know, for a longer period of time, but then standing, sitting all day at work, sitting in our car, people spend way too much time sitting. And then by throwing that barbell directly on your back, you know, there's no more compression than when that barbell is directly on your back. So switch it up. You know, if you're just looking for a stimulus for your lower body and your legs, there's a million different things you could do. You know, goblet squats, Bulgarian split squats, step ups, lunges, you know, drag the sled. We could go on and on. So there's way too many options to kind of compress your discs and reduce that space that you have in your vertebrae any more than it needs to be. All right, so enough on that. Next up, great tip I would give you is incorporate more eccentrics and isometrics into your programming as a means of making exercises more difficult and as just a new means of progressing an exercise. I think we all get stuck in the rut of thinking the only way to progress an exercise is to go heavier or, again, do more reps to failure. But a great way to increase the difficulty is add eccentrics or isometrics into your training. You know, for example, let's say, you know, you could do 80-pound dumbbells in a dumbbell bench press for three sets of 10. Instead of always just working up heavier and heavier and heavier, and then eventually, you know, heavier weights are going to put some more stress on your joints, instead of going heavier, try lowering those 80-pound dumbbells in 6 seconds next time you go to the gym. So, you know, do three sets of 10, or you might have to even lower it. Do three sets of six or eight reps, but lower the weight in 6 seconds before pressing the weight up. It will make it drastically more difficult. Same thing with isometrics. Try pausing the weight, maybe when you get it an inch off your chest. Pause the weight there for 5 or 6 seconds, and then press the weight up. So things like that will, again, you'll have to work harder. It increases the effort. It's a way to progress without just putting more stress on your joints. Don't forget about the eccentrics and isometrics. Next up, and this is a big one, make sure you are planning your recovery just like you plan your workouts. You know, we'll spend a lot of time thinking about what program we're going to do and what exercise we want to do. We're always thinking about the working out portion of working out, but we make our gains while we're recovering. We make our gains outside of the gym when we're sleeping, when we're eating. So the recovery is just as important as the stimulus that you're going to provide with the workouts. So make sure you're throwing in deload weeks, which are basically, you know, you could take a week off, you know, you get out of the weight room for a week and pick something else, you know, do something else active, but outside of the gym. Or if you're on a specific program, you could take, you know, half of the weight that you were using for each workout and train with, you know, 50% of the weight you were training with, or do half of the reps. If you were doing 10 reps of everything, do 5 reps. And that's just a way periodically you throw that in there. And it's a way to still get to the gym, still break a sweat, still get a workout in. But by reducing the volume and intensity, say by 50%, you will let your body recover. So make sure you're planning your recovery. And last but not least, I'm going to give you a quick bonus tip. This doesn't have anything to do with being inside the gym or working out, but most of us, if we go to a gym, we train, we hopefully are eating a healthy diet and making that part of our lifestyle. And a lot of us take supplements to kind of fill in the gaps or, you know, fill in a void in our nutrition or to improve performance. So I'm going to end with this. When you buy a supplement, you know, if you're looking to improve your performance, when you buy that supplement, ask yourself this question. is this supplement going to help me become healthier? Now, it might make you become stronger. You know, if you go to the, you want to go and buy a supplement to help with your strength, you know, you go and buy your jacked 4D gorilla testicular cream, you know, it might make you stronger, but ask yourself the question, did that testicular cream make you healthier? And a great way to answer that question is look at the actual ingredients. You know, are there artificial colors, flavors, chemicals, dyes? If there's a bunch of fake artificial chemicals and crap in there, put the supplement down and walk away. Go to your nearest Onnit retail store. but in all seriousness, if you cannot say that, yeah, this supplement can help with my health, put it down. It is not worth taking at this stage of the game. All right, guys, so that is that. Hopefully these tips will help you guys out. You can learn more about this specific topic as well as many others by checking out new episodes of the Industrial Strength Show podcast every Thursday on iTunes and Stitcher, or go to industrialstrengthshow.com. Thanks, guys.